The open road feels even better with CME Federal Credit Union. CME wants to beat your current auto loan rate by 1.5% APR and give you a fresh start with no payments for 60 days, whether it's tailgates, pumpkin patches, or road trips through Ohio's back roads. Let CME help you cozy up to savings and make this season one to remember. Terms and conditions apply. Minimum floor rate of 4.99% APR. APR means annual percentage rate. Federally insured by NCUA. Visit cmefcu.org for additional details.
Well, we know Central Ohio has the best football team. Did you know we have the best credit union, too? It's easy to fall for CME, Ohio's number one credit union, recognized nationally and statewide by Forbes and rooted right here in Central Ohio. CME Federal Credit Union. Bank with the best. Membership subject to eligibility. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing lender. Visit cmefcu.org for additional details.
Welcome, everybody, to Redacted on this Monday. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And on this show, we tend to cover the stories the mainstream media largely ignores. And right now, the mainstream media is losing its collective minds over Trump's tariffs and what this means for the economy. To listen to CNBC, MSNBC, CNN, all of the major Yahoo Finance, all of these, Bloomberg, they're all losing their minds over it, saying that, an economic nuclear winter is coming, basically, under Trump's tariffs. But it's interesting if you look at the poll numbers and you talk to those who live on Main Street in America, those who work at factories, those who are worried about losing their jobs to China, there's an entirely different narrative that's emerging, but the mainstream media won't cover it. So we're going to talk about that today here on the show.
We're also going to talk about Benjamin Netanyahu's visit to the White House. This is the second visit that Benjamin Netanyahu has made to the White House in just 2 months of Trump's administration. So is he going to come every month until he gets the war with Iran that he wants so badly? We're going to talk about what that agenda is. Why is Israel continually killing civilians and getting away with it, and Trump says nothing in the White House? Why do you think that is?
We're also going to talk about these protests over the weekend. I don't know if you know that in all 50 states across the United States, there was organized protests where hundreds, thousands of people in different towns came out to protest President Trump and Elon Musk. And the grabbing of American values, the grabbing of American democracy, they basically called it the grabbing of something. And they're worried that we're losing our democracy under Trump and Elon Musk. But who's behind these paid protests? And these protesters, when they're confronted with microphones in front of their faces, like, why are you here? They're like, what are you protesting? I don't know exactly what I'm here for. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about who's behind these paid protests. And actually, it may shock you. It may surprise you to find out who's behind.
Well, it's so interesting because they're the same liberal groups that wanted a dismantling of the system. So now that that is actually happening, they're like, wait a minute, the system. We love the system. We wanted the system all along. And if you followed liberal politics, they hate free trade. They absolutely have wanted tariffs. Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, all the liberal icons, poster children, have wanted tariffs all along. So what exactly do they think they want right now? What is the intention?
Well, also, if you think about, like, what exactly are they protesting in terms of, so you're against, like, them carving out and going after government waste, fraud, and abuse? Like, I'm just confused exactly what you're upset about.
Right. It's funny to see them protesting the fall of the stock market, too, because, like, that's what Occupy was all about. Like,
well, that was what their love of Luigi Mangione was all about. They're like, yes, we support Luigi. You know, it's like, well, no, this is far more effective than killing a CEO of a United Healthcare company. Like, if you love Luigi Mangione, like, this should be like your wet dream. You should be super excited if you're liberals.
It is, but they are also the same people who have followed the marketing that you see during the Super Bowl of max out your 401k, get a Roth IRA, only put your money in a place that you can partner with the government to invest in the stock market. So they've done what they were told, what we were told was responsible. That was never responsible because it was always a market perversion. They didn't study that for themselves. So you do have to feel sorry for people who have sort of fallen for the BlackRock line, and now they're the ones getting screwed. They don't understand what happened. I mean, we could have told them a long time ago, we told you to buy gold. So
I mean, I could go back to 2016 here on the show when I was on YouTube, And one of the first videos that I ever made here on YouTube was why your 401k is garbage.
Yeah.
And why you should not be partnering with Wall Street and the government for your family's future and your retirement. It's a terrible investment. And you shouldn't be investing in these companies that are offshoring jobs, closing down factories here at home, and then moving to China. And now, guess what? Now that chickens have come home to roost. So anyway, we're going to talk all about this on the show today. We've got a lot of special guests here that we're going to get to in just a second. But first, we're going to tell you about our friends over at Shopify.
Yes, Shopify is a great place to go if you would like to start an online commerce platform of any kind. So whatever idea you have to launch your shop to the world, Shopify is where you start. And in fact, the Redacted store runs on Shopify because it's really just so easy to come up with an idea of something that you would like to market to the world, and you can implement that. These are all of our great Redacted designs. We come up with an idea inside our group chat in our company. Our great designer, Grim, he mocks it up. We're able to launch it to the world in just minutes as soon as we have a design we agree upon. So if you go to redactedstore.com, you can see all the things that we run on Shopify. Not only do they handle the website, they handle the back end, and they also handle the e-commerce platform, and they handle support as well. So if anything goes wrong, you've got someone ready and willing to help you at a moment's notice. So you can upgrade your business and get the same checkout, again, that we use at Shopify. So integrate Shopify into your life and, in fact, allow them to be the back end of your business. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redacted, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/redacted. Upgrade your business to sell to the world, make $1 million. Get yourself online, own yourself, shopify.com/redacted.
Shane in our chat says, tariffs caused the Great Depression. Learn your history. No, it didn't. In fact, the creation of the Fed is responsible for our Great Depression. Learn your history.
Yeah,
learn
I'll take that one to the bank.
Yeah, Shane, please learn your history. The creation of the Fed is responsible for the destruction of the United States. Make no mistake about it. And we're going to talk about the Fed here in a second because they are sitting on their hands right now. They had a meeting today, a board meeting today. And will they be forced? Will their hands be forced to lower interest rates? We'll talk about that. So is President Trump about to eliminate income taxes for America? This is one of the big things that no one's talking about. The media is ignoring this story. This could be phase two of this entire process. Roll out these tariffs, force these countries to face off against reciprocal tariffs here, and then also eliminate income taxes for Americans. President Trump has repeatedly said it's illegal for income taxes to exist. And he said as he was moving into his second term, he wanted to eliminate them. Is that phase two? Well, we'll see. President is hinting, and their administration officials hinting that could be coming very, very soon. Can you imagine elimination of income taxes in the United States? Which, yes, they are illegal. Oh my God, it'd be unbelievable. But the mainstream media really wants you to be upset over the Trump tariffs right now. Wall-to-wall coverage. All you need to do is flip on CNN or MSNBC. Front page stories all over the internet, from the Wall Street Journal to Bloomberg, on how the sky is falling because the stock market has plummeted. So we need to feel bad for these big companies right now. Watch how the corporate media is trying to scare you, how Shark Tank's Kevin O'Leary isn't having it. Watch this amazing exchange this morning.
I want to start on these tariffs. The market is on track right now for its worst weekly performance since March of 2020. How do you continue to be an advocate for these tariffs, given the sell-off we're seeing, given that I have had every source on our show this morning say that these tariffs will be causing a recession in the United States?
They don't know that yet. They don't know how long the tariffs are going to be on. We've never done this before. We've never taken on the entire globe. Usually it's done in trade agreements with specific countries.
But Kevin, as of this morning, with the 34% retaliatory tariff from China to the United States, we are not getting closer to free trade. We are just getting further into a trade war.
No, China's a whole different story. This isn't about trade war with China. This is about leveling the playing field on a wide range of issues, including IP law, access to business, access to courts, being compliant with U.S. regulations on securities. There is a laundry list of grievances with China that have been around since they joined the WTO, and none of the administrations previously have ever dealt with China.
So why are tariffs the right way?
Dealt with for the first time. So this has nothing to do with just tariffs. I mean, right now, I can't litigate.
That's the tool that the administration is using. Why are tariffs the correct tool if, to your point, these have nothing to do with tariffs?
What tool do you suggest they do when nothing else
has worked? Well, I'm not the president. It's not my job.
Well, exactly. So let him do his work.
I love her smug response.
Right. But that cuts both ways. So then if you don't know what would otherwise work, but you're sure this won't, but you have no authority or expertise, why the heck are you the anchor?
Right. And why are you saying that I've had all these sources on the show today who are telling me one thing, but they don't know. They don't know that a recession is coming. We don't have no. In fact, we may have actually staved it off.
Right.
Or we may have actually been in a recession for the past number of quarters.
And also, why are you interrupting the guy that's trying to give you an answer?
Right. Why do you invite him on if you don't want to hear it? Anyway, maybe he's totally wrong. You know, maybe Kevin O'Leary's totally wrong. I don't know. Are you president of the United States? No, then shut up and let him do his job to fix the disaster that President Biden left on his doorstep. So just here are a couple data points. Remarkably, oil prices have now plummeted. Grocery prices have dropped significantly in recent weeks. Egg prices have come down. Most importantly, the inflation number has now dropped to pre-pandemic numbers of 1.3%. This is the trueflation number. So look at those numbers now for inflation. So all the sort of crying about inflation and how it surged, of course, under Biden is now reversing itself. Remember, the tariffs don't even start until April 9th. And overnight, we learned that over 50 countries have now reached out and they're ready to make a deal. Japan is sending a delegation to Washington as we speak. The UK, Keir Starmer as well. Even the EU, which has been propped up by the United States for decades, is now ready to talk.
We stand ready to negotiate with the United States. Indeed, we have offered zero for zero tariffs for industrial goods, as we have successfully done with many other trading partners. Because Europe is always ready for a good deal, so we keep it on the table.
Great. And now this morning, a new poll out shows that Trump's approval has gone up 4 points in the last week. After the news of the tariffs broke. Why? I mean, why is that? And you
know, could it be because Americans don't allow the mainstream media to manipulate their emotions anymore?
Maybe.
That would be amazing.
Or maybe
true.
Yeah, maybe it's that they're not, like, when they turn on CNN, and I saw someone in the chat saying even like Fox News is talking about, you know, is talking about how devastating these tariffs would be. Maybe that's the case.
I'm tired of you guys getting me worked up about something that I don't understand completely yet. I'm going to hold a pause on this.
And just allow it to unfold and see where it goes instead of having the mainstream media tell us one way or the other how to feel about it. Or maybe Americans just aren't really interested in the stock market. Maybe most Americans that have the 10% of Americans that hold the most wealth in this country or actually care about the stock market when the rest of America doesn't. So when everyone's crying about stocks plummeting, most Americans just say, good, I don't care. I don't give a rat's ass. Could it be because the average Americans don't care about this? They care about their jobs. They care about their factories. Maybe. Like this guy who sums it up perfectly. He's not even a Trump supporter, but listen, this has gone viral over the past 48 hours talking about how these tariffs would work on, you know, he's a business owner and he's like, I'm not a Trump supporter, but here's how it works. Watch.
So do you want to know the part that they're not telling you about tariffs? Here's the reality that nobody's talking about. Nobody. This lighter costs $25 in America to buy an American-made product, okay? China makes one, sells it for $20 here in America. Out of that $20, $5 goes to whoever in America sells it, $15 of it goes back to China. You buy the $25 one in America, all $25 stays in America. So now we want to say, let's balance this out, and we're going to put a 50% tariff on Chinese goods. Now this lighter costs $30 to sell in the United States. Now you have the U.S.-made one at $25. It is cheaper. It's more expensive in the big picture. I get it. But it's now cheaper, so people are going to buy the American-made one. 100% of the $25 that you spend stays in America, stays here. The demand increases for that business. That business has to hire employees. When many businesses hire employees, that creates a supply shortage of employees, which make wages go up. Is this more expensive for the consumer in the short term? Yes, but you're getting a better product. You're getting a better product for your money, and the money is staying local. Okay, you're not funding these other countries and their businesses. That is the purpose behind all of this. Will we have a recession? Yes. Will prices go up in the short term? Yes. But the lagging effect is all of that money now stays here with us. It's not leaving the country, which gives us more money in the United States to go around for everybody. Of course, every nation in the world is going to say, we're being bad neighbors and bad business partners. Well, of course, we've made them rich. And now we as a people are suffering. We want our money back. Why is that so hard? It's not ideal, but it works and it makes sense. And I'm not a pro-Trumper at all, but I believe in it. I'm a business owner. I know how it works. Have a great day.
I like that guy. Independent thinker. There you go.
So where do we come down on all of this? Well, Kevin DeMeritt is the CEO of Lear Capital and, of course, been watching over the past 48 hours. So we've seen silver prices skyrocketing. Gold has leveled down a little bit here, but still over $3,000 an ounce right now. A lot of questions about where things go right now. Kevin joins us now. Good to see you, Kevin. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, great to be on. Thanks for having me.
So regardless of where people come down on this, it seems clearly, maybe at a high level, Kevin, we can just talk about this at a 30,000 foot level. It seems like globalism is dead here. Like Bill Clinton's dream has finally been crushed. Like we're going to outsource all of these American jobs. We're going to get all these cheap Chinese goods. We're going to send uranium to Russia, uranium enrichment to Russia. All of our mineral production, you know it better than anyone. We're going to send it to Canada. We're going to send it everywhere else but here. And we weren't expecting a huge problem. Is globalism dead?
No, globalism's not dead. It's just you're starting to get to a point where there's going to be some fair play, right? I mean, we haven't had fair play in trade for years. We may get it. Like you said, 50 countries came to the negotiating table to talk about their tariffs. And the woman you had on from the EU said, we're ready to negotiate for 0-0 tariffs. Well, that's positive. So take that back to CNN and have the woman explain that. But
right.
It wasn't 0-0 tariffs prior to what Trump had to do. It was, we're going to put tariffs on you guys. You guys aren't going to put tariffs on us. And we're going to allow that to continue. And now all of a sudden they have to come to the negotiating table. 50 countries to the negotiating table is a big deal.
Well, one of the things that economists that I respect have said that we never had a proper recovery from the 2008 fallout. And the reason was because we had this Walmart, Amazon, China artificial system where we could still buy cheap goods and feel like we're okay. Don't worry about it. We're fine. And so that's not going to be the case any longer. And we're going to have to buy fewer high quality things. And then we can actually recover, because if we don't, then the bubble that has never actually been properly
burst
will burst on us even worse. What do you think of that?
Well, I think that's true. Look, you have to balance this trade out to see where prices are really going to fall, right? I don't think anyone can really tell you with all the tariffs that countries have placed on us, or just don't trade with us at all. I mean, that's the other issue, right? They send a bunch of goods to the United States. We try to send some over to those countries, and you know, we just can't do it. So, how much more efficient could we be by selling goods and products and services into those other countries? I think there's a lot of this, but the people that are out there talking about, you know, how negative this is and look what it did to the stock market. Well, look, if you had credit card debt and you were trying to pay down your credit card debt, you don't get a happy day. You get, I need to put off some clothes. I need to put off going out to this fancy dinner. There is some pain that needs to take place to get to a better spot. And before people can start making a judgment about, do these tariffs work or not? I'd like to ask them a question. Give me the 5 or 6 issues that tell you the tariffs are working or tell you the tariffs are not working. And then let's look at and see what happens over the next 3 or 4 months. But everybody says, oh, they're not working because the stock market's down. How about, right. Hey, look, if we see a shrinking trade deficit, or we see an increase in manufacturing here in the United States, or we see reshoring announcements like we've seen job growth in some of those tariff areas, or we see an increase in tax revenue because of the tariffs, or how about this one? 50 countries come to the bargaining table and say, hey, we want to negotiate with tariffs. And then give me the list that would be negative. Are tariffs not working, like maybe lower GDP growth or decline in business investment or retaliation from trade partners around the world? Not 50 coming to the table in one country increases.
Right.
That isn't how you determine if something's successful or not.
I think that's a brilliant point, because everyone's just sort of shouting right now.
Yeah.
Look at this. Trump's tariffs aren't working. Stock market is down. Right, is that your indicator that tariffs aren't working to make sure that jobs are coming back
right,
to America?
Is everybody a day trader?
Yeah, like everyone cares about day trading or something, and they're as you pointed out, we've already had a number of companies announcing bringing jobs and manufacturing back to the United States. So that's to me a huge indicator, and I'm an independent on this. I'm on President Trump, and I think most of our audience realizes that. But I think that's a brilliant thing that you just said, which is people need to step back and wait and see, like, what are the indicators that you're using to measure this without just yelling? I saw Jim Cramer on CNN. That video has like 2 million views. And he literally went on there and just said absolutely nothing of substance. He just whined about tariffs, but didn't explain one point as to why they wouldn't work or why this was a bad idea. He just wanted to whine on television. And that's it. That's what people are doing right now. They're just whining. What about the Fed, Kevin? You watch all of this very closely. The Fed is, like, to me, the big elephant in the room here. Are they going to, do you think, move to lower interest rates more quickly because now inflation has plummeted? So I guess one of the big things that Trump said was, we're going to get inflation down and we're going to get prices down. So gas prices have plummeted. Grocery prices, I don't know how many Americans have been paying attention, but grocery prices have come down significantly over the past few weeks. And now this inflation number is down to 1.3%. What is the Fed going to do?
Well, look, this was kind of an emergency meeting, so we don't know really what was said. But if I had to guess, it's kind of what I just said. First of all, let's look at the indicators that these tariffs are successful or not successful and what that means to the economy, right? So that's the first thing you need to do is define, what is the economy going to do in the next 3 months, 6 months, 9 months? And how do we help that or slow it down? So if we're going to get inflation, we have to leave interest rates where it is. What does that mean? Well, it would be negative if all the tariffs raised consumer prices and they went through the roof. We can't raise the interest rates. If we get a decline in business investment because of the tariffs, then maybe we want to keep interest rates and start lowering them. So each one of the things that I kind of brought up are the things that they need to put on their piece of paper with a line down the middle and try to figure out where the economy is going. We had a great jobs report, so that would be inflationary. So they need to add everything up and try to figure out where they are rather than just all this reacting that all these other people are doing. And that's what I think they're hopefully doing.
Now, I've noticed this generational battle where younger people on X are saying, "This is your fault, boomers, you did this. You got it. You basically created this big bubble. You spent. Now we can't have houses. That's your fault." I don't see it that way. I don't see my parents having, created the national debt. I see it as the government did this. The government it's the Fed that did this. I don't like that. Like, it's not for, well, what did they do? They were powerless to a government that wanted this. What do you make of that?
Well, yeah, absolutely. They didn't do this. The Fed and the government spending did this, right? We couldn't get government spending under control if our lives depended on it. And starting with Greenspan, we started with quantitative easing back when the dot-com bubble fell, or when dot-com, the NASDAQ fell, and it never really stopped. So we just keep spending way beyond our means. I mean, in 2008, we had an $8 trillion budget deficit, which was reasonable based on GDP. Now we're at $36 trillion. I don't think the baby boomers caused, an $8 trillion to a $36 trillion increase in government spending and a deficit that large.
No.
Somebody needs to put a stop to it, and hopefully We'll find a lot of waste in government, and Trump can fix that.
Yeah, the baby boomers were the one, you know, the Bill Clintons in that generation, which offshored all of these businesses, put them overseas, cut manufacturing. 90,000 factories since the 1990s have now closed in the United States, and we have no manufacturing base here anymore at all.
Right, but the average boomer was an unwitting participant in that they didn't know. Like your mom is not
to blame.
Right.
But Bill Clinton is to blame.
Yeah.
And look, we have higher paying service jobs. So even if you took the manufacturing out of the equation a little bit, we would have been okay with servicing jobs. That has nothing to do with it. If you bring in a dollar and you spend three, you're going to be in have some serious issues at some point. And that's the real problem. Our deficit going up that high, and we can't balance our trade deficit. We can't balance our budget. Those are the problems. They have nothing to do with anybody but politicians and the Fed.
You know, I just want to ask you about this because it's been kind of pointed out. I think Tim Pool even pointed this out pretty well over the past 24 hours that the Democratic Party has really become the party of the rich. Even Chuck Schumer has acknowledged this. This has been the Atlantic magazine, I think, did like a postmortem. I think Rolling Stone did a postmortem, basically calling Democrats like they've abandoned the working class. They've abandoned the Rust Belt. They've abandoned the workers. They've become a party of like wealthy coastal elites who, you know, hold 10% of the country's wealth. They hold 10% of most of the wealth distribution in the United States. And most of it, of course, made through the stock market. And then you have this vast, huge chunk in the middle that doesn't have any investment in the stock market, don't care about Wall Street's ups and downs. And so really the crying that you're seeing on media and all the liberal media that's run by all of these corporate elites is really, really a reflection of that. Do you agree or disagree with that?
Look, I think the Democrats have just been more, they've been the party that has spent more money. So they were influenced more by, corporate, just, hey, here's a corporate gift, or, hey, I'm on some committee and there's a stock and we want you guys to okay doing X, Y, and Z. And all of a sudden the stock goes up. I mean, look at Nancy Pelosi has a better track record than Warren Buffett over the past 10 years. I mean, I don't think she's smarter than Warren Buffett in stock investing. So where did that come from? It came from all of the corporate people, you know, giving her some inside tips. And I don't think anybody would say that that's untrue. So, you know, I don't know if they're the elite class of, you know, high income earners or, you know, rich people in the United States. I just think they're willing to take some contributions from those people in ways that maybe Republicans aren't, if you get the drift.
Right.
Yeah. But I do very much feel sorry for liberals who adhered to their party's platform is partner with the government to invest in the stock market, max out all your savings in your 401k, and let us take control of that. And they didn't have the motivation to question these power structures, and they will hurt the most. So it's not, you know, I have a lot of empathy for people who have not looked outside these into alternative investment structures and did what the government told them and now are feeling the pain.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, look, the government isn't there to help you with your investment, right? If that were the case, then in school, they would be teaching us how to invest. They don't do that. They kind of let you go out and try to figure it out yourself. People, if you think the government is going to be there and help your retirement and get you through that, they're not. You have to make the right decisions. You have to save, you have to do the things that you need to do to diversify your portfolio, and you will be fine. In 2 to 3 years, nobody's going to think about these tariffs. Hopefully, they would all work out, get better trade, but the stock market has always come back. Investments go up, investments come down. If you don't want to go through the horror of having 2 or 3 investments in your portfolio and they all go down at once or go up at once, you got to diversify a little bit. And think about it. And I think you guys have done a great job with real estate and precious metals and all the other things that you talk about, trying to educate people on something that the schools have really been a disaster trying to help people understand and plan for their retirement and financial future.
Thank you.
Well, it's going to be unbelievable here in the next few days. You're going to continue to watch all the media meltdown over this. But I think we need to watch and just sort of sit back and study the data here. And actually, I think what you said was really brilliant about watching the data points and, you know, figuring out how do we measure the success or failure of these tariffs. So we'll be watching it closely, and we're going to see which other countries now come to the table before this April 9th deadline. But we've got 50 of them, I think maybe 52 as of this, as of our show today. So we'll continue to watch it. Kevin DeMeritt, great to see you as always. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, great to be on. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Kevin.
I saw Carol Roth, who was on our show last week, explaining the tariffs. She said, "Don't look at me. I told you to buy gold."
So, I know.
You know.
I mean, listen. I'm telling you.
Felt so good about those sponsors of Redacted.
Well, I mean, so since 2016, we've been saying on this show, and the reason we say that the 401k is a terrible way to plan for your retirement is because we speak from experience. I mean, a 401k was never meant to stand on its own as an investment. It was meant to work in tandem with pension plans. And even the founder of the 401k said that it's failed. So if your whole family's future is tied to a 401k, this should be a wake-up call to a lot of people. And by the way, when this all sort of subsides in the next few months and these numbers, by the way, I love that any sort of Keynesian economists, a whole bunch of Keynesian economists have come out and they're like slamming these tariffs. And I saw Zero Hedge had a great opinion piece today about it. Said, anytime Keynesian economists tell you to do one thing, do the opposite. Mm-hmm. What they're telling you to do right now is sell.
Yeah.
You should be buying, because Keynesians told you to be buying it before 2008. You should have been, you know, and so they're always wrong. And so this is an opportunity for you to, like, maybe sort of a wake up call to rethink about, oh, I just started a new job. Yeah. The only thing I'm going to do is get a 401k and just sort of set it and forget it.
Do you know that the average 401k on full maturity when somebody retires is $90,000? How are you going to live your entire retirement on $90,000?
It's ridiculous.
How are you going to do that? Plus, most of the time they're taxed if it's not a Roth. So it's to you to have been studied and to continue to study and to own your family's financial future and to not be dependent on the government. And I am so sorry for people who have bought this expensive marketing that you should have been partnered with the government to be in the stock market.
It's so true, because when you think about all the commercials, you have Fidelity, you have these like Charles Schwab and all these, they spend millions of dollars on commercials, on like Super Bowl ads and baseball games and everything. Right. So you're sitting there, follow the green line to retirement, you know, whatever. And so, I'm sorry. So Fidelity, you're going to spend millions of dollars on TV commercials. So I go into a Fidelity store or a Charles Schwab's, you know, bank or whatever, and you're going to plan my retirement by putting it in the stock market.
Like, why? In a high fee fund?
Yeah.
You make more money on it than I do?
The reason they're able to spend millions of dollars on these TV commercials is because they make millions of dollars off of suckers.
Right.
Anyway, it's infuriating. And now, again, and I also love that these companies that offshored these jobs, that moved out of their manufacturing out of the United States, moved it to China, Mexico, Vietnam, and other spots, are the same companies that these individuals invest in.
Right.
Right. But these are the same people who championed Luigi Mangione, you know, killing a CEO of United Healthcare. They're like, yeah, that's the way to do it.
To bring down a system.
To bring down the system.
That you're probably invested in
your 401k.
In your 401k.
The hypocrisy.
And we already know that, like, when the system crashed in 2008, who did they bail out? They bailed out the people that made the bad decisions with your money.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Point. And we set up this fractional reserve banking system. So you don't even have to. And during the pandemic under Biden, it used to be that when I put $100 in the bank had to hold 10 of those dollars and then they could lend it out. Now, under the pandemic, they get to hold zero. So they have to hold none of your money. Mm-hmm. Is that unbelievable? They don't get to hold any of your money and they can lend it out.
Yeah.
So anyway, this is I think that it's just amazing to watch the mainstream media just crying over this corporatist.
What makes me more mad is, like, this anchor we just saw. Girl, you're on a network that sells the 401k as if it is the holy grail. And anyone who had followed that advice is hurting right now, and you're scaring them more. That's unconscionable to me, and it's irresponsible and it's ignorant.
Michael Song in our chat says, I just lost $100,000 in my 401k during this redacted segment. Yeah, I know.
Goodness.
I know you're being hyperbolic, but yeah, I mean, if you've got money in the stock market, in a large way. I mean, you know, again, the companies that have been offshoring jobs and stand to lose and suffer the most here, like, why were you invested in those companies who were screwing over America in a large way? Like, it doesn't make a lot of sense. So, but we'll see. We'll see how this all shakes out with the stock market. We've got more news to get to here on your Monday. We are going to talk about Benjamin Netanyahu, who just arrived in the White House. President rolled out the red carpet for Benjamin Netanyahu once again. So while everyone is distracted by tariffs, Netanyahu chose the opportune moment to come to the White House and beg for us to go to war with Iran and a whole host of other issues, of course. And so we're going to talk about that, plus some really damaging stuff that just came out of Israel over the past 48 hours that we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about all of that. But first, I'm super excited, guys, for this, because I want to tell you about our friends at Jacked Up Fitness. Now, Maha is here to stay. It's inspiring Americans everywhere to make fitness a priority again. That's why I'm excited to be working with these guys, with Don and the team over at Jacked Up Fitness. They're an amazing American company. Now, I got really excited at the beginning of this year. I said, I'm really going to start doing more weight training, resistance training. I'm talking push-ups, pull-ups, weight training, like, you know, doing pull-ups, doing a lot of calisthenics, everything. And the team from Jacked Up Fitness, they were just in D.C. this weekend delivering their flagship product, the Jacked Up Power Rack Pro, for none other than RFK Jr. They installed it in the HHS building, and they were honored to make this donation there. And now we're getting our own Power Rack Pro here at the Redacted Studio. It's going to sit right next to our studio. I'm very, very excited about this. It has everything you need to get a full body workout: the cable crossover system, integrated 200-pound weight stacks, and a Smith machine to allow you to do hundreds of exercises. Basically, everything that you can do at a gym, all right there. My family can't wait for this to arrive. My son is super excited about this, by the way. If you're new to strength training, get their Jacked Up program. They have full body video workouts led by celebrity trainers like Kim Lyons and Clark Bartram. You literally just hit play and you follow along. So listen, I'm going to be doing this. You should too. Let's get together and do this. Go to getjackedup.com. There's the website right on the screen, getjackedup.com. Sign up to access the program right now for free. And when you're ready to order your Power Rack Pro, you can save 10% by using our promo code REDACTED. No more excuses. Go to getjackedup.com right now and use that promo code REDACTED. While most of the American media right now is focused on Trump's tariff, Israel really wants America to go to war with Iran. Wanted war criminal himself, Benjamin Netanyahu, is in D.C. right now meeting with the Trump administration as President Trump sent another aircraft carrier to the Middle East. Americans didn't ask for this. They didn't sign up for this. And they certainly didn't vote for President Trump wanting to go to war with Iran. Meanwhile, this weekend, Israel was caught lying when new videotape had emerged from brutal murder of medical workers from March 23rd, where they gunned down them in cold blood. And now new video has emerged showing that Israel lied about this incident. To make sense of all of this, and President Trump targeting Houthis in a village using drones and then taking to social media to praise this drone strike, is John Kiriakou. He's the host of Declassified, a CIA Declassified on Unified Television. He's a CIA whistleblower. And of course, he called attention to President Bush's illegal torture by the CIA, and then they went after him for it. And he joins us now. John, great to see you.
My pleasure.
I know you don't pull any punches on this, and we don't either. Here, no, a few minutes ago on the show, we were talking about Trump's tariffs, and I believe there's a lot of really good things about that. But on this, I'm absolutely furious about it. Benjamin Netanyahu in Washington, D.C., clearly, it seems, pushing the United States towards war with Iran. First, on that point, what do you make of this?
This is something, as you correctly noted, that Benjamin Netanyahu has done on literally every visit to the United States since he first became prime minister. I remember when I was still at the CIA more than 25 years ago, every single time Netanyahu would go to the White House, he would say to whoever happened to be president, you have to attack Iran, you have to attack Iran, you have to attack Iran. And president after president told him, we don't want to go to war with Iran. So here he is again, after all these years, demanding that the United States attack Iran on Israel's behalf, is what it comes down to. I hope, like you do, that Donald Trump has the wherewithal to stand up to this. And you are also right that the American people did not vote for a war with Iran.
It would be, well, first of all, it would be devastating. We've had military leaders on our show who said, you know, this is not a war that we would win. Russia, no. Of course, would come to the defense of Iran. It would be a World War III, disaster, absolute disaster. You know, I want to get your sense of this, too. This weekend, this new videotape emerged from March 23rd. You know, I just can't get over the fact that we have a wanted war criminal literally in the White House right now meeting with our president. When all of these atrocities have unfolded. And they're painting all of this as, oh, it's just Hamas. Oh, it's Hamas. So these medical workers were not Hamas.
No.
And we were told they lied about this. We were told that they were approaching them suspiciously and that they're, you know, with lights off, they were very darkened figures. They knew exactly who they were targeting. They were targeting medical officers. And then the videotapes emerged showing that they were lying about it, that they their lights were on, and they clearly knew who they were. Then they lined it up and killed them in cold blood. The BBC, like, playing defense for these guys, the BBC headline said, Israel changes account of their story. No, they didn't change their account. They were lying. The BBC should have just said in their headlines, Israel caught lying about atrocities killing these medics. So when the world just sits back and allows this to happen, and then they said, oh, well, you know what? Then they were Hamas. And that's like the blanket excuse they can use for everything.
That's right.
Everything is Hamas. Everything is Hamas. It's so infuriating, John.
If you believe the Israelis, Hamas is millions strong. And we know that that's ludicrous. It's absurd. What we saw on the 23rd of March with the cold-blooded extrajudicial executions of these EMTs was an obvious war crime. I mean, war crimes generally don't get any more clear, any more obvious than what the Israelis did to these ambulance drivers and attendants. And you're exactly right. The world just kind of shrugs and say, fog of war, Hamas, what are we going to do? No, we have to hold the Israelis accountable. They've committed numerous war crimes since the start of this conflict. Yes, Hamas is a terrorist organization. Yes, it's terrible. Yes, it launched an attack, and those Hamas leaders should be brought to justice. Many of them already have been. But this is a war crime, and heads should roll because of it.
I think that's a key point here because, you know, people in the chat will say, I'm just waiting for a redacted to say something nasty about Hamas. Hamas is a terrorist organization.
Sure.
Hamas is a terrorist organization that should be held accountable. These medics are not Hamas.
Exactly.
And the children in these schools that were bombed over the weekend, I mean, can we talk about that? These children, these beheaded children. I mean, I seeing the images this weekend it's
sickening.
Like it's absolutely sickening. And you look at your own children. How is the world allowing this to happen and normalizing this type of behavior, John? I mean, so there you go. Hamas is a terrorist organization that the United States funded and provided weapons to and Israel funded and supported and created. So there you go.
That's
what I think about Hamas.
That you're exactly right. And, you know, one of the things that I don't understand politically on the American side is the level of support for Israeli actions among American evangelicals. Are they blind to the fact? Do they just not know what the Israelis have done to the Christian communities in Gaza and the West Bank? St. Porphyrius Church, for example, the oldest continually operating Christian church in the Middle East, not only was bombed by the Israelis and destroyed, this church dates to the 7th century, but inside the church, the Israelis killed 14 women and children who had taken refuge there. Why aren't the evangelicals in the United States upset about what Israel is doing to Christians in the occupied territories? I just simply don't understand it. Where's the outrage?
I don't get it either. Why? I don't understand the silence about the Christians that have been killed, not only there, but in Syria as well.
In Syria as well. Mm-hmm.
And it's a deafening. It's an absolute deafening. I mean, I don't understand. My friend of the show, Kavor Kalmasian, one of the great journalists, a Syrian journalist, you know, he's just spoken about the atrocities as Benjamin Netanyahu just, you know, beheaded babies, killed medics, flying into the United States, and the world is just sitting back. And I'm just afraid. Now, you fought against this during your career. you blew the whistle on these atrocities that were being carried out by our government.
Yes.
And they went after you. President Obama went after you, right?
Yes, he did.
Is this going to be, are we normalizing this to the point where this is just going to be allowed to happen and no one will be held accountable for war crimes? Forget the International Criminal Court. Like, it's all just a joke now. It's all theater.
I fear that we are. You know, Ronald Reagan once said that we were a shining city on a hill. And I really believe that we are, at least we should be. And so either we're going to be a country that embraces the rule of law, that embraces human rights and civil liberties, or we're not. We can't be both. We can't just stand by while Israel murders women and children and civilians and EMTs and just shrug our shoulders and at the same time jump up and down when any other country violates international standards of human rights. We have to be consistent on these issues. And so it's time for people to stand up.
You know, there's been a lot of focus on, well, everyone always throws out, well, it's October 7th. So that's why we have to kill babies, right? October 7th is the justification they give. Or in Syria, the shooting of by Jolani's forces right in the, you know, pregnant women's bellies. Like, this is because of October 7th. We got to shoot pregnant women in the bellies. Like, this is ridiculous. You were at the CIA. Mm-hmm. Overwhelming evidence that Israel knew exactly what was coming on October 7th mm-hmm. and stood down for 7 hours or more. We know
that's
from
right.
the Egyptian security services, intelligence services. From the CIA's perspective, I'm curious your take on that. From a CIA, the CIA had to know this was coming. And do you believe that there was collaboration between the CIA and Mossad to just stand down and allow this to happen? It allows them to take over all of this land. They needed a catalyst.
I actually do think that was the case. I hate to even express the words out loud, but yeah, I do believe that was the case. You know, American policy has slowly morphed into, slowly morphed from being the honest broker in the region to being Israel's last line of defense. And so we have given the Israeli government, mostly in the form of Benjamin Netanyahu, carte blanche to do anything he wants. And what that has become, and we see this with the appointment, for example, of cabinet ministers Smotrich and Ben-Gvir, they can kill anybody they want, wherever and whenever they want. They can sponsor legislation in the Knesset that will result in the expulsion of literally every Palestinian. They can have so-called real estate seminars at synagogues in the United States and Canada, which really are nothing more than seizing Palestinian property and giving it to settlers to take for free or for almost free. Or we can go back to being the honest broker. I don't see any move back to, you know, the good old days. What I see is both Democrats and Republicans deciding from a policy perspective to throw their lot in with Benjamin Netanyahu. And if you criticize Benjamin Netanyahu as a person, or you criticize Netanyahu's policies, you are now labeled as an anti-Semite. I can't tell you how many Jewish friends I have who don't like Netanyahu, who have been told that they're anti-Semites. How we got to this absurdity is a mystery to me.
Well, I think the word has lost all meaning now. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I have friends who actually worked for Netanyahu and told me how corrupt he is. I mean, he's a war criminal. I think he's a demon. I think he's a war. We know he's a war criminal. He's a wanted war criminal. I think he's a demon. And I have friends who worked for him say how corrupt he is. So you can call those people anti-Semites all you want. It's ridiculous.
Right.
We just got word of this, John. Israel, and Glenn Greenwald just posted this a few moments ago. Israel has repeatedly killed Americans in the West Bank, he says. They killed a U.S. journalist. And they first denied it, of course. Then video proved that they did, so they finally admitted it, just like they did with the medics. Now they just shot a 14-year-old American.
Today,
President Trump will hold Netanyahu's... Exactly, in the West Bank. Today, Trump will hold Netanyahu's chair again for him at the table. Shot by a 14-year-old American, shot by IDF soldiers, and they knew, and they lied about it, and they covered it up. And we allow this to happen. Americans are just fine with this, and they'll just, you're an anti-Semite. We should kill Americans. We should kill babies. We should kill women. Like, oh, you're an anti-Semite. It just gives them beautiful cover. Or they're all Hamas.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sick of it. I'm really sick of it. I'm just, like, so furious.
You remember Shireen Abu Akleh, of course, a year ago. And Shireen was the most respected and beloved journalist at Al Jazeera. She was an American citizen, and she was a Greek Orthodox Christian. She was wearing a bulletproof vest that said press on it. She was wearing a helmet that said press on it. And an Israeli sniper shot her in the face. And then at her funeral, a couple of days later, the IDF entered the church while the funeral was taking place. They attacked the pallbearers, forcing them to drop her coffin, and then fired tear gas into the church. And somehow, as Americans, we're all supposed to be okay with that.
I just don't even understand. I mean, this is why there's so many protests in Israel against Netanyahu. Like, this doesn't get played on American press at all.
You're right.
There's, I mean, people do not like Benjamin Netanyahu in Israel.
Well, and may I add something on that point? You raise a very important point here. There are dozens of political parties in Israel. Benjamin Netanyahu happens to be the prime minister. He happens to be the leader of the Likud party. But he has never won more than 27% of the vote. Never. You're talking about 73% of Israelis who don't want him to be the prime minister. So why do we support him blindly?
I don't know. This is the great question. It's the great conundrum, John. But, you know, they'll label you an anti-Semite for telling the truth about it.
Yes, indeed.
Meanwhile, Israelis watching this massacre unfolding are also not supportive of this corrupt leader of this country. And yet President Trump is going to hold his chair again. And many of these, like, MAGA influencers who will, President Trump can do no wrong at all, will just go blindly along with, you know, funneling billions of dollars into Israel, taking us to war in Iran. It's just absolutely disgusting. I hope people can wake up on this. John, thank you so much. Thank you for allowing me to vent today, because this has just been an infuriating weekend on this subject.
My pleasure. Thanks for educating so many people.
Oh, thank you, John. Great to see you.
My pleasure.
Thanks, John. And I was just saying there, you know, that Glenn Greenwald had just posted that a few minutes ago. Well, he just now posted this a few seconds ago. This video, I don't know if we can play it here or not, Philip, if you're able to take it.
I don't have your laptop, but it's not coming to me.
No, you don't. Okay. No worries. So anyway, just a few minutes ago, Benjamin Netanyahu just had the chair pulled out for him for President
Trump. President Trump.
Once again. Now, he did that a few months ago, and he just did it again.
We will link to this in the newsletter tomorrow. We will discuss this as the week goes on. It looks to me like it is a begrudging gesture. And again, points to the fact that something's not right with Trump's relationship with Benjamin Netanyahu. Before he took office, he posted a video by Jeffrey Sachs calling him an evil person. We know that's true. What's happening? What is behind this? Why twice in 2 months of the second Trump term is Benjamin Netanyahu welcomed at the White House? Why is it that urgent? President Trump is about to embark on a trip to the Middle East. He's going to start in Saudi Arabia. Did Benjamin Netanyahu have some threats to deliver in person, perhaps? You know, the fact
that...
Well,
he wanted to get ahead of this Saudi Arabia trip, right? Because
definitely.
What relationship are we going to have with Saudi Arabia? He wants to run in front of that as much as he can right now. And he wants us to be collaborating on a war in Iran, clearly.
Right. Yes, clearly. And, you know, the fact that we don't know if he was held to account for the murder of these medics. We don't know if he was held to account by the murder of the young American boy in the West Bank. We don't know that. We want that to be the case. And so what is behind it?
Calvin,
right? And it's a constant assault on our psyches to see this as Americans and be told it's fine. If you're not okay with it, you're an anti-Semite.
Oh, people are that ship has sailed. That word now has no meaning because they've destroyed the meaning of that word, and they're conflating your support of Israel
Clint,
for
you're
Jews.
You're talking about this as if it's past tense, but the Senate last week held a hearing in order to put into law an expanded definition of anti-Semitism. So it may have lost meaning in Twitter arguments, but it is expanding its hold on the American people's freedom of speech.
No, you're right about that. I just think, you know, our friend journalist Dan Cohen points out that when people throw this term anti-Semitism around, they're conflating their support for Israel with your support of Judaism. And or they don't understand. They certainly don't understand the difference. Anyway, right. I wanted to Calvin Johnson points out, Johnstone in our chat says Netanyahu would be ousted if not for October 7th.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. And therefore, by continuing this war, you continue to hold on to power. And he would be ousted immediately if it weren't for this, clearly. Many Jewish journalists who've been on our show have said that and reiterated
but
that.
It is incumbent on us to continue to be vigilant about our freedom of speech because the Trump administration has expanded our rights to say things about most racial groups now, so we can say things that are critical of Black Lives Matter. We can talk about the actual statistics about violence inside the United States. We can talk about crime inside of Hispanic communities. But we are being removed our ability to be critical of Israel under the guise of anti-Semitism. So in many ways, this could be worse than we had it under the Biden years. And we can't stand for this. And it's terrifying me because we're seeing immigrants arrested for being critical of Israel. How long until that comes to American citizens?
Yeah, American
citizens.
How long
until somebody becomes arrested for criticizing Israel? And who will it be? And will our Constitution stand for it?
Right. I mean, J.D. Vance in the White House said to Keir Starmer's face about the UK's clampdown on censorship and going after journalists. And Keir Starmer like backed up and said, no. And it's absolutely 100% true. So the White House has been vehement in their opposition to censorship all throughout Europe. What Germany has been doing to journalists clamping down on free speech over there. But here in the United States, we're moving in the opposite direction under this. So,
you know what I did this weekend as I'm watching these horrible images of death of families in Gaza and in the West Bank, and then now the report of the young man who died in prison in the West Bank, who was starved to death. He was 17. He's a child. And I thought, I'm going to look for the literature that would tell someone that's fine. What are the books that a Zionist supporter would read that would tell you that's fine? I want to know. I want to read those books. You tell me how, because maybe that will help. Maybe
there's a lot of propaganda.
You
have to read the propaganda in order to be brainwashed in that way.
I want to know what you have to read to feel like, cool, we kill their kids. Fine. Totally good. Tell me what that is. And I'm not going to say I'm going to promote it, but I want to know. I want to know how you're okay with that. What I need to understand.
Sunshine in our chat says your info is wrong. Okay, if you say something like that about Israel, or about Netanyahu, then can you just be specific? Like when you say your info is wrong, like you're just shouting into a chat room about something. Be specific. You can say no.
But maybe share right info.
Yeah, yeah, or just share correct. If we're wrong about Netanyahu and whatever, then just be specific and say, no, Netanyahu had nothing to do with October 7th. He didn't know any information about October 7th. That's a lie. And then please present your evidence. Just show us the evidence, like Thomas Sowell would say. Show us the evidence. All right, we've got more news to get to. These paid protesters are starting to show up on social media now explaining exactly how they were paid, what they were told to wear and what not to wear. They were told to not wear any MAGA, shirts and T-shirts and hats or anything like that to go to these protests. And so they were paid handsomely for it. Let's talk about that in a second. But first, with everything that's happening right now in the economy, it feels like we're walking on shaky ground. Prices were stuck really high. We're starting to see leveling off now on egg prices and grocery prices. Gas prices have now plummeted, which is great news in a lot of areas across the country. Inflation has come down to 1.3%, according to Trueflation today. So many people over the past couple of years have been relying on their credit cards to cover the gaps because prices skyrocketed under the Biden years. Credit card debt is leaving many people stressed out. If you're a homeowner, you don't have to face this uncertainty alone. Our friends at American Financing can help you take control. They can help you access the equity in your home to help you pay down that high interest credit card debt, giving you peace of mind and real savings. On average, people just like you are saving $800 a month. Plus, they may close your loan in as little as 10 days. Don't let the chaos of the economy get the best you can. Call right now, American Financing, right? It costs you nothing to get started. You may delay two mortgage payments, giving you a cushion in this uncertain time. 866-890-8434. That's 866-890-8434. 8434 today, or visit AmericanFinancing.net/redacted. And their NMLS number is 182334. Go to NMLSConsumerAccess.org.
All right. Well, activist groups conducted protests against the Trump administration in over 50 states this weekend. Yes, all 50 states. The groups behind these protests sent out emails that Redacted has seen telling people exactly where to go, what to bring, what to do. According to the organizers, a group called Hands Off is a, quote, nationwide mobilization to stop the most brazen power grab in modern history. Have you ever heard of FDR? I wonder, have they ever actually studied FDR?
Ever heard of the CARES Act?
Right. Ever heard of, the Patriot Act. Okay, but cool. But yes, their major problem is Elon Musk and Trump. So what exactly are they grabbing? I don't think they even know. Sometimes it just feels good to get worked up and go someplace and scream with a poster, right? Certainly, you know, they don't actually always know. Here's a typical protester response when people say, yeah, what do you stand for?
They gave me the sign. It's a free sign.
Oh, someone gave you the sign,
yeah.
And then they gave you the handout.
Yeah.
So are you reading it now to see, try to answer the question?
Yeah, but I mean...
Can I see that? Can you hold that
I'm
up?
I'm
just curious.
You can have it.
I can have it?
Yeah, you can have it.
All righty. So where did you get the sign?
All the way in the gatekeeper's house.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's
just pretty cool.
And that's...
That's crazy. So they just handed out the signs. Here's the flyers. Here's your talking points. It's like they're prepping Kamala Harris for a debate.
Yeah.
Here's your talking points, right?
Well, Richie McGinnis was at the protest. He's the author of Riot Diet, One Man's Radical Ride Through America in Chaos. So he knows that of which he speaks, and he joins us to tell us, what did you see this weekend? What is the major motivating force to go out in this cold spring weekend?
Well, this was a huge protest, and it was possibly the biggest protest, at least in D.C., since Trump came into office. And it was actually a number of different causes that were out there. So there were protesters out there on behalf of the Palestinian cause. And then actually the biggest protest was underneath the Washington Monument, which was anti-Doge, anti-Trump, this hands-off protest that you're talking about. And I mean, it's a very mixed bag, but overwhelmingly what I've noticed, the difference between this and BLM is that the protesters are much older in age than your average BLM protester. And also, I guess you could say less ethnically diverse, given that I'm in Washington, D.C., which is a largely black city, not quite majority anymore, but it certainly wasn't majority black or anywhere near that when I was out there this weekend.
Isn't that so funny? Because the anti-BLM protesters were largely older white people.
Yeah.
And liberals took to the internet to make fun of older white people. Like, oh, it's just them. They're uncool. They're past their generation. It's very ageist. Like, we don't want to hear from them. But now they represent the liberal talking point. So how the tides have changed. But where are the young people? They're just sitting this one out?
I think a lot of the young people are just tired of the 8-year five-alarm fire that's been going on with, you know, Orange Man Bad. The one thing I did notice at these most recent protests, especially this weekend, is that during BLM, the most galvanizing thing was, what do you guys think about Trump? You know, oh, F Trump. But now at the most recent protests in D.C., it's Elon Musk, who's actually the primary subject of their ire. And when you look around at the signs, they're mostly anti-Doge and anti-Elon signs. Obviously, there's a fair number of Trump ones as well. But Elon has really become kind of public enemy number one. And I think that's partially because of the fact that the left-wing media has been, you know, screaming about Trump and how he's Hitler for 8 years. But at a certain point, I think that has diminishing returns.
So who's funding these protests? Because we at Redacted actually received these emails that were sent out this weekend calling on people to show up. So I've seen these emails that went out to people and the organizing telling them what to dress like, what to, you know, where to go and how to get your signs and all of those sorts of things. Seems highly coordinated, and it seems like they're really threatened by something. What could Doge be doing that would threaten their livelihood?
Well, if you look at the funding of the protests, and most, you know, it's a lot less sexy than, oh, these protesters were all paid to go out there. I think the overwhelming majority of people, if you build it, they will come, is what I often say. So yeah. there's definitely a lot of money that's required to start these protests, to print all the signs, to provide people with reimbursement, not necessarily payment, but they're paying for their transportation. They're giving them the signs. They're telling them where to go. Like you said, these huge email lists. And if you look at where the funding is coming from, the hands-off protests that we saw around the country and we've seen over the last couple of weeks at a lot of Tesla dealerships and whatnot, those last year in 2023, Indivisible, which is one of the largest contributors to Hands Off, got $3 million from the Open Society Foundation. So that's obviously George Soros's foundation. And he also funded a lot of the protests that we saw in 2020, like when I was on the other side of the fence outside the federal courthouse, where they were lighting fires and agitating police. You know, that was a smaller portion of the BLM protesters that would come out on a given night. There'd be 5,000 people and 500 would be smashing into the fence. But the most extreme protesters would get arrested and I would see them get bailed out and come back out the very next night. So the Open Society Foundation is definitely funding a
George
lot of
Soros.
This.
George Soros.
It's a variety of groups and a lot of like local DNC chapters are funding these smaller protests that you see in all these smaller towns around Tesla dealerships and stuff like that.
Is there anything productive that you think is a common thread that people actually want? Or is it a mob mentality? There's a joke in Europe that if you just throw a few coins in any dirty puddle, Americans will be like, ooh, that must be for luck, and start throwing their money too. And so do you think that this is a mob mentality, or is there anything productive that we could learn from it?
Well, what's interesting to me, I've been in DC since 2008. Obviously, Barack Obama, that's when he won, and he was inaugurated in 2009. And what's very surprising to me as far as asking people questions out on the ground is, like I said, the galvanizing factor is that they're anti-Trump or anti-Elon. But when you actually ask, hey, are you on the side of cutting government waste, fraud, and abuse? You know, I've read Obama quotes to some of these protesters, him talking about waste, fraud, and abuse and how we need to eliminate it, Bill Clinton quotes, and they... Yeah. Disagree with the statement thinking that it comes from Trump until I reveal that it came from their hero, Barack Obama. So that just illuminates the way in which the paradigm is shifting in the political landscape where, you know, I came to DC in 2008 as pro-free speech and anti-war, and that made me anti-George Bush, which put me on the left wing. But now those stances, I don't know where that puts me. But
you
I think,
both.
You know, a lot of people just go where they're told to be. They're not thinking about this critically. They're not sticking to any principles. It's just, you know, orange man bad.
It is totally like money in a dirty puddle. Like just.
Yeah, money in a dirty puddle is exactly.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take, you know, it doesn't. I think people think that everybody needs to be paid to come out to these protests. And really, I mean, people are so apoplectic about politics these days that all that's required is for the venue to get secured, for the signs to be printed, for transportation to be secured, for if people are coming from longer distances, and they'll come. So, you know, our country is divided basically half and half right now. And so it's not really hard to find people who are willing to come out. And I think the older audience also indicates, you know, a lot of these people have money in their 401k. They don't like the uncertainty in the stock market. And also, you know, there are a lot of government workers in DC, and these are all older folks who work for the government or still work for the government and feel threatened by Trump, you know, like a bull in a china shop, cutting programs.
Yeah. Or they've just recently lost their jobs at USAID or these other programs that Doge. Yeah. Did you talk to any of those types of people that lost their jobs like at USAID or these other government positions?
Yeah. To which my question is, well, if somebody offered me 9 months of pay to leave my job, I would be out there in a second, you know, because what can you do with nine months of pay? If you can't find another job after 9 months of getting paid, then you probably weren't doing your skills then.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Or start a business. I mean, 9 months for crying out loud.
God forbid.
You know, I've seen people who, you know, are like planning on leaving a company and they need like 3 months of a runway, you know, just to get that business launched. They have an idea. 9 months. And now this is what they're spending their time doing, though, going to organize protests against Doge. Richie, thank you so much. What is the name of your book again? Can we put it up here on the screen? Riot Diet.
Riot Diet.
One man's radical ride through America in chaos. I'm just curious. I haven't read this book yet. Can you tell us about the book?
Well, it starts with the pandemic, and then I was in D.C. for the first weekend of protests and rioting during the infamous Trump St. John's Church Bible photo op. But then me and my little riot squad, we traveled to Portland, Seattle, New York, Minneapolis, Wauwatosa. I was in Kenosha, Wisconsin for the Kyle Rittenhouse shooting, and I was both the named victim and a witness in that case. And so it takes readers through the quote unquote summer of love. And I was just on the ground with my cell phone recording interviews. And it really gives readers a front row seat to what really happened on the ground rather than the kind of dueling narratives that were coming out of these protest zones.
Do you see any similarities? I'll get you out of here on this, Richie. Do you see any similarities with like the violence that's been taking place against like Tesla dealerships and Teslas and what you witnessed that summer?
Absolutely. I mean, look at the last time that I saw that many burning cars was in Kenosha. And I think there's a lot of pent up anger, even, you know, obviously the pandemic supercharged things back then, but that simmering anger over Trump is obviously still palpable. I was at January 6th as well. I covered that, and that's in the second book. But, I think both sides are very animated, but the left does have a tendency to be much better at organizing these kinds of protests around the country. I mean, you look at the scale of last weekend, and it's really unprecedented as far as what the right can bring to the table. I mean, the Tea Party might have been a similar example, but that's about the closest thing.
Richie McGinnis, great to have you here. I love the on the boots. I mean, on the boots on the ground. Skateboard shoes on the ground, talking to these protesters. It's amazing. I think that's fascinating. Richie, great to see you. Thank you so much for your work.
Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure.
All right. Well, we will continue to cover it. Just a few hours ago, President Trump warned against being a panickin. Do you know what a panickin is?
That's the first time I've ever seen this word. But he said, be strong. Don't be a wimp. Don't be weak. Don't be a panickin. A panickin.
A panickin is someone who only panics when it comes to Donald Trump, but did not panic, say, when the Biden administration was losing children, trafficking children, tanking the economy, tanking the dollar against the euro and other currencies. That was fine, but I'll panic if it has to do with Trump. So, yeah, don't be a panickin. If you want to panic, be an equal opportunist, right? You got to panic. You either have to panic over everything or not. Right.
Yeah, I guess. I like that word, though. It's true. All these people are like, now the sky is falling. By the way, Jim Cramer, I just posted this a few minutes ago. Jim Cramer, CNBC's Jim Cramer, who always gets it wrong, predicted today. He said that we'd see another 1987 Black Monday style crash today. And the Nasdaq just closed higher than it did the other day.
Man, I got to short that guy's suggestions, 100%.
Whatever just do the opposite of whatever Jim Cramer tells you to do. I guess that's the plan.
All right, that's going to do it for Redacted. Before we go, we want to tell you that our show is brought to you by ARMRA, because we live in an environment where our biology was never designed for artificial light, artificial access to carbohydrates, and endocrine disruptors, chronic stress, noise, pollution. All of these modern assaults disrupt our cellular signaling, and they negatively impact our gut health and accelerate aging and disease. Where ARMRA Colostrum revives cellular signaling, bolstering our health from within to defend against everyday threats. Colostrum, you may know, is nature's first whole food with over 400 bioactive nutrients that work at the cellular level to reactivate your body's innate capacity to regenerate and thrive. So look into ARMRA by going to trymra.com/redacted, and you'll receive 15% off your first order. So again, this is to help revive your gut health, your microbiome, and help you continue to heal yourself with this supplement. So look at their buffet of offerings by going to trymra.com/redacted. And again, you'll receive 15% off your first order. Again, it's ARMRA Colostrum. And there's a whole host of benefits that you should look into for yourself. So thank you for joining us today. We will be back tomorrow. Yeah? Are you going to? Clayton never lets me have the last word.
I do. I just want to remind people about our newsletter.
Okay.
Yeah.
You want me to do that?
If you want to keep going, sure. I was going to give you a break there, but keep going.
You do it.
No.
Do it. Have at it. You want it so
bad. She doesn't like when I take a breath. It's like...
You never let me talk.
Would you just like to take a breath?
Don't fight in front of our audience.
I thought you were wrapping up that, and I was just about to, normally what happens is in a situation like this as a couple, you just hand it off and I'm able to take the next thing. You want to see how this works? Let me show you how this works. Check out
He's
our newsletter.
Embarrassing me in front of
check out our newsletter by going to redacted.inc. We have a daily newsletter. We haven't talked about this in weeks, but it's free and it's delivered to your inbox first thing in the morning. And the kids have labeled it the world's best newsletter because it's great with your morning cup of coffee. When you're waking up in the morning, you can be informed about what's happening. It's a great way for us to stay connected because we've been banned and blocked here on YouTube multiple times. And it's a way for us to be able to send an email out and say, hey, our show has been canceled today because we were banned again. Go get our free newsletter today. You can read it in about 5 or 10 minutes over your cup of coffee. And we cover the big stories that you might have missed overnight and that the mainstream media refuses to cover. Just go to redacted.inc. You'll get a verification email. You just need to click confirm that you want to receive it. And then you'll receive it in your inbox first thing in the morning. See how that works?
Yeah, that was good.
It was great. You were able to get a little drink of water.
Water.
See how that works?
I'm refreshed. Okay.
That's love.
We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Thanks for being here.